This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Stephen Perry, President and CEO of New Orleans & Company, joins us, as he does on most Wednesdays, and we appreciate same, to give us a flavor of what's going on with the hospitality and tourism industry in and around New Orleans, the state of Louisiana, and across the country. Stephen, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Newell. Good to hear your voice again.
So, Stephen, we've talked over the past couple of weeks that we thought that this month was really a critical month in the recovery. A lot of folks holding on. Not a lot has happened in D.C. In fact, as it relates to the industries that y'all work in and around, not much at all. And it looks like with the situation with the Supreme Court, there is a major distraction and not sure anything's going to be done between now and the election.
No, you're absolutely right. And the thing I have to tell you today, I have a sense of just extreme worry for our city, where we are, for our industry, since we are the largest industry, produce the largest part of the city's revenue. Unlike after Katrina, we have been utterly failed by our congressional delegations, Democrat and Republican, both. As a DMO, Destination Marketing Organization, we've been excluded from every part of the CARES Act and all of the PPP thus far. It's made it extremely difficult for us to galvanize and begin to get customers back that drive our industry. It's state government. It's been the same. We got money into the appropriations bill, and it came out in the conference committee. Newell, after Katrina, we got $28 million from federal CDBG grant funds, and I was able to go to the legislature and get a $5 million direct appropriation to the New Orleans Convention and Visitors Bureau, and that made all the difference in getting our industry, our restaurants, our hotels, but especially our workforce back up and going. And right now, there is no I feel like we don't have a government partner. I mean, you can tell I'm a little tense this morning. It's because here we are reaching a critical moment where the small businesses that comprise the vast majority of our industry are in real trouble. And our workforce, we know what's happened there, as the federal supplements to the, you know, our lower state unemployment comp has gone away. And Newell, we're just reaching a critical point. And I got to tell you, two things have to happen for us to be able to save our industry, save our city and its economy. And that is, number one, we have to get our city back open more again, in a safe way, in a prudent way, with individual commitments from everyone. But even that alone won't do it until we can get the marketing support that other cities are getting from their state and local governments. We're not going to be able to get customers in here that start the revenue flowing to City Hall, that provide the services that protect us, that provide EMTs, that provide our garbage being picked up. I mean, Newell, you've got to have both. We've got to have the visitor industry kickstarted again, and we have to get the city open, because they work hand in glove together.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always scouring for stories around the country. And this one today, I guess you're not going to like at all. 87% of New York City restaurants, bars, and other such venues could not pay their full rent during August. And they surveyed, the Alliance surveyed there, the New York City Hospitality Alliance surveyed 457 restaurants, bars, nightclubs, and event venues between August 25th and September 11th. So this is relevant data, current relevant data, right? 60% of the landlords had not waived rent through the pandemic. Of the other 40% that had waived rent, less than a third waived over half the rent. And 90% of the survey respondents were unable to negotiate their leases because of the pandemic. The only way that any of this breaks free is the aid coming down to the restaurant, the businesses, or to the landlords, one or the other. You know, in trying to get something to happen here. And what they're saying now, in another study, a hotel study, that 67% of hotels in this country won't last six more months. That's two thirds.
Neil, you've just given some figures that I'm very well aware of. They are scary. They are even more profound here in New Orleans. You know, in New York, the restaurants have been closed until October 1st. They're opening at 25%. In a single-digit margin business like a restaurant, it's impossible to make money at 25%. And even at 50%, you know, we need to get back to 75% at a minimum. And but more than that, you know, we've got to, there's so much help needed for the national restaurant industry right now and the national hotel industry. It was provided to airlines. The PPP was initially helpful. But the fact that we've got gridlock again in Washington has left our hospitality industry, which is small businesses, just hanging. And the inability of people to understand that even if you put the magnificent jet plane that is our industry back together, unless you put fuel in it, which is the marketing to stimulate demand and get America moving again, it's not, you know, we can keep restaurants hanging on, but until we get customers coming back in the door, they're not going to make it. And Newell, what this requires on the part of cities and states is a far greater level of sophisticated thinking than is occurring right now. Take the issue of bars and the issue of nightclubs. We understand the safety issues, but you know, you have many different types. I know the mayor here has real concerns about the French Quarter, and we do understand that. Neighborhood bars, however, that service those in a few, many cases, walk a few blocks to their favorite watering hole. There is a way to stagger getting these businesses open and getting us back to work. And the thing that I think City Hall just keeps missing here is that until we get customers back, the very people the mayor most wants to protect, working men and women and musicians and artists and culture bearers, they're dead in the water right now. And they don't have the money to last very much longer, Newell. So it's, you're right. If you hear a little bit of an edginess in my voice, it's because we are really, really concerned.
I brought this up with Dr. Joe Cantor, the Assistant Chief Medical Officer for the state of Louisiana. We are fortunate enough to have him join us every Thursday. He'll join us again tomorrow. And I asked him last week that at 75% with the 6-foot separation distance that's required, it really doesn't do much for the restaurant business because they are constrained by square footage. And, you know, I said it really begs of an assessment and a collaboration between city government, the restaurant operators, and the medical folks. Everybody has seen some of the plastic shields that have been done, and and whether or not you put these on wheels, and what can you do inside of a restaurant so that they can truly take advantage of 75%. Because at 75, as you well know, you're driving some money to the bottom line. You know, you're just not covering your operating expenses. And so that, you know, they can't just cover their operating expenses for another 18 months. I mean, that's not going to work. And the sooner that we can get creative and innovative, which we know we have the brain power here to do so, the question is the will. And who's going to step up as the leader in order to do that? So, you know, we're going to lose a lot of great restaurants here. They're going to go under, and it's a lot easier to recapture them, a lot harder to recapture them, as opposed to putting in some effort, some financing on the front end to save them. That's a much easier proposition, you know, because I've heard people say, well, you know, if they close, there'll be another restaurant. I'm not so sure, you know. I mean,
well, that's exactly right. And the same is true with small hotel ownership. I mean, Dr. Kanner is right. The 75% occupancy for a restaurant in a smaller restaurant doesn't give them a huge advantage. But one of the things that we do that is a self-inflicted wound is preventing us from serving couples full meals at the bars in some of the nicer restaurants. I mean, you look at the size of the bar in a Bourbon House, in a Gianna, at a Pesh, those kinds of restaurants. The bars just are empty. We're not talking about bar service. We're talking about utilizing the space to serve meals. It absolutely makes no sense. And so, you know, what we really need is we need government to be visionary and to be a partner. Right now, what they're not doing is helping us figure out how to save the economy. And Newell, you hit it right on the head. You can't just pay businesses to be closed or to have vastly reduced customer base indefinitely. It doesn't work. And so it's going to be a combination of all of these things that's going to get us going again.
And, you know, this wait and see to see where the election's going to go, to see, you know, whether or not someone who may have a stronger affinity of providing more dollars for state and locals and taking it on to come that way, that's just not a strategy, you know. And
well,
and
you know, we say
it's not a sound strategy by any stretch of the imagination.
Well, Newell, we say to each other almost every day, hope is not a strategy.
Right.
We have to have concrete ways to move forwards. And one of those, you know, is we've got to get the nation's DMOs that are excluded right now back in business. I mean, we're running out of the end of our funding. We're not going to have the ability once we get back going, even after a vaccine, to market unless we can get help from our state government. And we are very, very hopeful that we'll be able to sit down with President Cortez and Speaker Sheck Snyder and the Money Committee chairs and try to help figure this out, because instead of just, you know, we have the best solution, and that is I'll put it this way. In addition to supporting businesses with financial help, let's get their customers back in the door so that capitalism can start working again.
Yep. And look, a lot of people are saying that, well, these restaurants are going to suffer anyway. They don't have the tourists coming. That may or may not be true. I had dinner at a French Quarter restaurant the other night, and they turned the tables over three times. So there's a demand.
Well, that's exactly right. Yeah.
And it was predominantly 90% locals, but there was a demand there. And it's rare that you turn tables three times in the restaurant business for dinner, you know, at a white, you know, white tabletop restaurant. So so it indicated to me that the demand is there.
Well, the demand from the locals is there. And we know from seeing that on the weekends, some of our, you know, more attractive hotel properties are in fact getting anywhere from 25 to 30% occupancy on the weekend. Those people all go out to eat, and it's going to gradually grow. And I guess what's frustrating for us is we have the most restrictive conditions in the state right now, and yet we've got the absolutely best numbers in COVID management. So that's a little frustrating, but at the same time, look, we're committed to the health components of this, but we're also committed to the fact that if we don't get back to business, the working men and women in this city, they're in real trouble. And the small business people that have put their life savings forward, including some very famous New Orleans icons, are just not going to make it. So it's going to require us all getting together and getting open, doing it safely, but also getting visitors back. Because in New Orleans, whether you like tourism or don't like tourism, tourism pays the bills for this city to operate. And so the taxes can be kept lower on all of our other citizens. So we're just, we're hopeful we're going to make some progress in this special session of the legislature that the speaker and president have called. We do not have, as you indicated, we don't even have a 5% hope that there's going to be something at the federal level before the election. So, yeah, we're distracted by other things right now when, in fact, it's our lives that are on hold.
Let me ask you, Stephen, are you guys doing anything similar to the New York City Hospitality Alliance in surveying the hospitality industry to see exactly where they are? And you know, information is power, and data drives a lot of things. And it'd be really nice if we had some of that data to back this up, to monitor, to look at as we make progress jumping, you know, from phase to phase, because it could be that there are some fine tweaks or tweaks that are available that may make a significant bit of difference to the business operations here as we try and reestablish and redevelop a tourism base here.
Well, we do. And one of the things that we do in both hotels and restaurants is to monitor who's opening, what percentage of the restaurants, what percentage of what types are opening, how are they performing. One of the things that we know in hotels was that just a few weeks ago, we only had 58% of our hotel rooms open and available. A few of those that were closed did open to accept our evacuee guests from Lake Charles, our friends and neighbors from the Southwest. So we know what's happening with them. I will tell you that in every market in this country, though, hotels, there are many hotels that are in play. The problem in the restaurant business is there are no restaurateurs in play to buy new restaurants. It doesn't work like that on the restaurant side. And so it's what restaurants tend to do is they just close their doors. So we need to have a smart one size doesn't fit all strategy, because right now you see some of the restaurants that are doing the best are neighborhood restaurants. And I believe the same will happen with bars. They will not be packed. They will not be unsafe. They will allow those businesses to continue and life to get back to normal a little bit, but also revenue to the city, because we need it really, really badly.
Yep. To give you an indication of that, in Chicago, and I know you're familiar with the Grand Chicago Hotel, the Palmer House Hilton, one of the largest hotels in the city of Chicago, just went into foreclosure. 1,641 rooms, which have all been modernized, you know, over the past 10 years. It is an iconic hotel in Chicago, and they're not sure one's coming out. They're not sure it's going to be able to make it.
You've really only got a couple of things that can happen with a product that size. Someone else buys it at a low rate, at a low price point. They get ready to reopen it as a hotel as this happens, or you have the possibility of conversion to residential living or conversion to office space. That's about the only three things that you can do with properties that size. I think what's going to happen is that you're going to have a shaking out. You've seen it in the American retail industry. Some of the most important and best names in American retail because of their mall presence have gone bankrupt. And I think you're going to see it in some of the hotels. And in particularly, it's harder hit, Newell, as you can imagine, on those who have just renovated, just made new capital investments, who are frankly newer in their ownership, and there's less equity that's built up. So every case is going to be different, but it's the problem with our industry, a restaurant and a hotel, unlike a software company, is we can't move. Okay. They are physical assets. And so we have to figure out how to make them survive. And as you pointed out, I mean, even in New York, the folks that own properties and that hold the leases, I mean, it's hard for them because they're having to pay their own loan base. Newell, this is about the most, if you wanted to look at something that could most damage the hospitality industry of America, a $1 trillion business, it would be a pandemic.
Yeah.
And it is, we have a long way to go.
Unfortunately, we're seeing it up front and center. We are going to have to break away, Stephen, for news on the Breonna Taylor case here in just a minute or so. So final thoughts real quick.
Final thoughts. We have to act. We need to have our city and our state willing to partner with us. The private sector can be unleashed. And if we can get the funding we need to keep our businesses whole, to keep our workers stable for a little while, get the money that we need to market as we begin to come out of this and we get to the point where we have a vaccine, we're going to save this city and we're going to save the jobs. But we can't do it unless we do both.
Absolutely. And hope there'll be a spirit of cooperation and collaboration that grows out of this. It's needed now more than ever. We need to all be singing off the same sheet of music because every misstep is amplified. And it ultimately ends up being something that's very hard sometimes to overcome. Not to Monday morning quarterback anyone, but you just got to come together. Stephen Perry, as always, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day. We truly appreciate the update as you have the finger on the pulse of that industry. And you guys do great work, and we appreciate the same.
Thanks, Newell. Take care.
All right, folks, we're going to be breaking away for the news, breaking story relative to Breonna Taylor, an announcement to be made by the Attorney General Daniel Cameron. There in Kentucky. So we'll be breaking away for that. So stay with us. We'll be back after the news break. This is Newell on WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.